Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Greetings, humans. You have entered the command zone, your destination for all aspects of Elder Dragon Highlander. Enjoy your stay.
I wanna rock and roll all night
and party every day.
No, we don't have to continue, but that's good. Everybody got it. We're partying every day.
We are. It's a party time.
It is party time. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Command Zone podcast. I'm your host, Josh Lee Kwai.
And I'm the other host right now, Ashlyn Rose.
Forgot to say how's it. I should say how's it. Yes, Ash is here to help us with the budget upgrade guide for the party time, the Orzhov precon from Commander Legends Battle for Baldur's Gate.
Yes.
So we're going to do the same thing we've been doing for all of these. We also did the deck reveal for this particular deck. We're going to break down the stats, go through the reprints a little bit, and then everybody's favorite part, Ashlyn has spearheaded the initiative to add 10 cards to this deck, take 10 cards out for a total budget of around $30.
And we were right up to the wire on this one.
Might be just a teeny bit over, but just a gumball over. It's totally fine, yeah. But first, of course, if you want to get your hands on this deck so that you can upgrade it, you
need
to
get it.
Yeah, you got to go to channelfireball.com/command. They have their marketplace all set up. They are actually the go-to place, especially for sealed product, I've found. They have really good prices because every single vendor on the Channel Fireball marketplace is an LGS. They're a licensed business. So they're plugged into the Wizards WPN network, the distributors, which means they get really good prices on sealed products. And because they're competing with each other on the marketplace, it tends to drive prices down and you can get some really good deals on there. So if you want to pick up this deck or, you know, all the pre-cons or, you know, collector's booster, draft booster, anything like that, channelfireball.com/command is the place to go. And of course, if you forget to put in the URL when you're at checkout, you can put in the code command and also you'll be, you know, providing them with the affiliate link. And of course, once you get the cards, you want to protect them. Ultra Pro, they make the products that Jimmy and I trust our own collections to. No joke, I have every single deck of mine in Ultra Pro Eclipse sleeves. I only use Ultra Pro deck boxes. We have Ultra Pro play mats.
We made our sleeves using Ultra Pro.
We make our play mats using Ultra Pro.
Yes.
Yeah, that's really the highest praise we can give them, that as a company, we use Ultra Pro to create our merchandise products because we know their quality is so high. We do have an affiliate link. It's kind of a new thing. We haven't always had this, but it's shop.ultrapro.com/command. And one of the great things about the affiliate link is that Ultra Pro products, different stores carry different stuff. It's not like Wizards where they release their product and pretty much any LGS is going to get all the product Wizards comes out with. They pick and choose more with Ultra Pro. And so sometimes you'll see certain stuff online or in the gameplay videos and you can't find it at your local store. Well, if you go to shop.ultrapro.com/command, you can often find some of that stuff that's either sold out or your LGS didn't carry.
Right.
Yeah. And also, they have deals there all the time.
Oh, do they really?
Yeah, you can often find like 50% off stuff, some really good deals if it's just a little bit older and they've got extra inventory and they're just trying to clear it out. So, yeah.
I also like how they're doing, we get these little emails sometimes and it's like the color of the month for Ultra Pro, which is very like, if you're familiar with like any type of like merchandise, you know, printing, Pantone does like a color of the year thing and it's very, it kind of harkens to that. It's pretty fun and they have amazing colors for all their like satin towers and everything. So it's great.
Yeah, we often talk about like styling your deck box sleeves, playmat to a set or some artwork. But they also have other styles. Like you said, you can style it to like yellow or, you know, they have other sort of more, I guess it's not like just parked on Magic IP.
Right.
Yeah. So you can sort of tailor your Battlefield however
make
you want.
Make it your aesthetic.
Yeah. Speaking of playmat and having Ultra Pro make it, we do have a new Kickstarter going on for our new playmat. It's called Before the Storm. It's really, really cool. It's the Year of the Tiger. The artwork, if you're watching on YouTube, you'll see it now. It's beautiful. The link is in the show notes. It's limited time only. Our playmats always are. We just do a Kickstarter for a certain amount of time. Once the Kickstarter is over, we look at that number. We make that many. We send them off. Then we never make it again. So if you want to get your hands on the playmat, show your support of game nights, help support our content. Again, the Kickstarter link is in the show notes. And then, of course, Patreon.com/CommandZone. Yep. You've heard us talk about the Patreon a lot, so I won't go on here. But we do shout out one lucky patron every single episode. And this episode is dedicated to Emmett Hillman.
Thank you.
Yeah, you rock. Okay, let's get into the main topic here. Party time, pre-con budget upgrade guide. The rules are the same as always. We're going to add 10 cards. We're going to take 10 cards out. We're going to spend around $30 doing that. But first, we have to analyze the deck a little bit to make sure that we give context for why we're making those decisions. So let's read the face commander
from the
deck right out of the box. It's Nalia de Arnice?
For some reason, my brain goes Arnice, but I know you need a C in there. But yeah, Arnice.
I think Nalia is nice. Yeah. Are she nice? Yes, she is. Okay. One white black for a 3/3 human rogue. Thank you for the pity laugh. You may look at the top card of your library anytime. You may cast cleric, rogue, warrior, and wizard spells from the top of your library. At the beginning of combat on your turn, if you have a full party, which means you have to have a cleric, a rogue, a warrior, and a wizard on the battlefield, if you have that, you put a 1/1 counter on each creature you control, and those creatures gain death touch until end of turn. What do you think of this card, Ashlyn?
I think it's a cool card. I do. I think it's nice. It's unfortunate it's a rogue. I wish it was something else, like maybe a warrior or something, but I liked the card. I don't know how to value the look at the top of your library cards.
Yeah, it really depends. And we're going to go through this in a little bit, like how many of those things you have in your deck so that it kind of gives you a percentage of like, what's my chances if I look at the top card of my deck that it's one of those cards so I can therefore get the card advantage of casting it.
Right.
I mean, you know, the deck's going to be like 35 to 38 lands. So that's at least a third that is a whiff with Nalia.
Yeah.
And then anything obviously that's not in the party classes. So it draws you probably like, what would that be? 60% of a card per turn if you have a lot of those.
And the other thing though is it would be better if it was with party, you have certain cards you need at certain times, right? Like you can't control if you're going to have everything but that cleric and whatnot. So that's the other thing that makes me hesitant with her as a commander specifically.
Yeah, she's kind of like, you need a full party or I don't do anything else.
Right.
Right? It's not like, hey, if you have two of the classes, you get, you know, 50% of the benefit or something. It's either 100% or not as far as the +1/+1 and the death touch. I think you can tell that Ashlyn didn't like Nalia. I agree too. And so we might be using one of the backup commanders. Actually, there's only one backup commander, which we're about to talk about, which is, do you want to read it?
Yeah, we have Barakos, party leader. And leader they are because they count for everything. They can either be a cleric, rogue, warrior, wizard. I should probably read the casting cost. It's a 3 and a black, 2/4 orc. And it says Barakos, party leader, is also a cleric, rogue, warrior, and wizard. Whenever Barakos, party leader, attacks, defending player loses X life, and you create X treasure tokens, where X is the number of creature cards in your party. It also has the additional text of choose a background.
So Barakos is an orc in the type line, yes. But can fill in for any piece of your party.
Yeah.
Will not be a full party themselves. They will just fill any open gap, right? So if you have a cleric, then you can say, well, Barakos is one other piece of the party. And that means Barakos fills in your party. If you have the other three, it'll just become the cleric or whatever it is that you need. But importantly, unlike Nalia, Barakos kind of works even if you have kind of part of a party, right?
Yeah. Barakos is like, it's the filler in any type of game you play and is like, I don't care what you do. As long as you like help out, it's a win-win.
Even Barakos will give you one treasure token when it attacks, right? Because you'll have one creature in your party, right?
Right.
Barakos. Exactly. Even if the rest of your creatures, or you didn't have any other creatures, or the rest weren't sort of party classes. So
it just gives you a lot more, not accountability, but like you can rely on it more because it's so versatile.
Right. You know you're going to get something and you kind of
can control more. Yeah, I like this, and we're going to recommend that you run Barakos with the background that comes in the box rather than Nalia, which is a thing I think that happens sometimes with the precons. Some people get upset when we do that, but I think it's a feature, not a bug, where it's right. Like, hey, I can use my strategic evaluation to get a little more optimization out of the deck by making choices. And I think this is a smart one. So let's read the background from this deck. It's Folk Hero, one in a white for a legendary enchantment. All the backgrounds are enchantments. It's a background. It says, commander creatures you own have, whenever you cast a spell that shares a creature type with this creature, draw a card. This ability triggers only once each turn. What? Pretty useful when your commander has in its rules text that I am a cleric, rogue, warrior and wizard.
That thing you're looking for, I'm it.
Yeah. And as you could imagine, both of the commanders in this deck, both the legendary creatures, care about the party mechanics. So there's already quite a bit, I mean, a lot actually, of creatures that have, you know, these classes already, yes. You know, that are these classes, I suppose.
And they definitely added some more cards as well, which we covered in the other reveal video if you want to check it out, but that support the party mechanic more that they added to the deck or made.
So that's going to be the recommendation here, but let's look at the stats that kind of break down what the deck looks like, just to kind of solidify our choice. If you're wondering how backgrounds work, by the way, we did an entire episode about it. It is episode 470, which came out fairly recently when you're watching this. If you're worried about the intricacies of the rules and background stuff, we went over it there. There'll be a link in the show notes. Okay, time for the stats. All right. Okay, so the party time deck stats. Do you want to go over the sort of, these are the evergreen stats that we always check for every deck?
Yes, so we have, I like this because, like, sorry, I'm going to be very lore themed right now, but it's like, all right, well, we got our packing list. We have ramp, we have card draw, single target removal, and board wipes as our stats for this. We have 7 ramp, 15 card draw.
Whoa.
Which is great when you need specific creatures. And 6 single target removal and 4 board wipes.
So these stats, actually, I like your choice even more now seeing that, because Nalia is a card draw card more than a ramp card. She doesn't ramp at all.
Yeah.
Whereas Barakos is a ramp card and doesn't card draw you at all. So if there's one thing we're short on, I would say
it's ramp.
Yeah, it's ramp. So the fact that our commander now provides the missing piece, that seems like, yeah, even more so like a good choice to use Barakos as the commander. And then Folk Hero will obviously give you some card draw in the command zone as well. We should have mentioned with Folk Hero that it is important to note that the ability triggers only once each turn. So we're probably going to talk about that more later, and I don't think we hit on enough. Okay. So yeah, the stats look pretty good though overall, right?
Yeah, the stats for this deck seemed pretty great. It's nice when you can go into a deck to do an upgrade and you're not trying to like balance something out as much as just add to it and build onto it.
Yeah, you don't have to work on the like foundational pieces. You can do the fun stuff.
Right, and you could tell they put a lot of thought into building this one. It's a fun deck. It was really fun to upgrade.
Yeah, the only thing I would maybe say is like it's a little low on removal and maybe you don't want quite as many board wipes because you're going to be creature heavy. At the same time, there are some themes in the deck that kind of pay you off when your own creatures die.
Right.
So the wipes maybe aren't so bad. So yeah.
I do like the board wipes they chose for this because I was really iffy on that too. I was like, oh no, that's a lot of board wipes and we want creatures.
Right.
But they chose the ones that are very situational, like Austere Command is one of
that
them.
That you can use to your own advantage.
Yeah, exactly.
They don't hurt you as much. Yeah, that's
so
good.
So they keep in mind that you want to have creatures on the battlefield.
Great. Okay, now let's talk about the deck specific stats. And I think the biggest question at first is like, how many of each of these party classes are included in the deck? So you want to run that down?
Yeah, of course. So we have party, which I think is just like things with the party text on it.
Or that care about the word party,
yes.
Yeah.
Which is 19. We have 19 cards in the deck that do that.
That's a lot of party synergy.
Yeah. Rogues, we have 13 rogues. Clerics is 21 clerics, because wow. Great to have clerics.
I wouldn't have thought that clerics would be the class there would be the most of, but it is.
Yeah, I mean, and even looking through like Scryfall, clerics are pretty pop, clerics and wizards, but yeah, a lot of good clerics.
Yeah, I guess maybe wizards, there's a lot more in blue, so since we're in Orzhov, and Orzhov has more clerics, so yeah.
Oh yeah, that's true. Warriors, we have 17. Wizards, we have 18.
Okay, so that's pretty well balanced. I think rogue's a little light, but remember, Barakos can fill in for whatever we're missing, so maybe Barakos is a rogue a little more often than the other ones.
Right, yeah, that's what I was thinking too. I definitely, you'll see later, but we took out a couple clerics, and I tried to add, I think, like a wizard or something, but it's pretty balanced with like what's already in there.
Yeah, and we should say it's not in our stats here, but there are like 44 creatures in the deck, so it's a very high creature count deck in general.
Yeah.
As you would expect with the commander really wanting certain creatures on the battlefield. So, yeah, it looks like a pretty even spread. So that looks about right to me.
Yeah, I it's something that I didn't have to worry about balancing. I did some, when I was playing it, it felt fine as well as far as like what I was hitting and filling my party, so...
Now, the big worry, I think, when playing a deck that's got to commit a lot of creatures to the board is, you know, I can get board wiped and then really take it can fully take me out of the game if I'm not careful. So we kind of checked to make sure there was enough protection and recursion to kind of make this strategy work. And the stats came out. There are 9 cards that we consider protection and 6 that we would consider recursion. So... a decent amount of ways to sort of protect your stuff.
Yeah, it's great. There's a ton of ways to, like, you don't have to worry as much about overextending. I mean, always be conscious of that. But, like, the deck wants to. It wants to go out there and smack things and people.
Yeah, I mean, you don't get Baracus's Trigger without attacking. It's a creature deck. Creature decks usually want to attack. I'd say with the treasure, hopefully you're getting from your commander, and Folk Hero drawing you some extra cards. And then with the protection and the recursion, even if the worst happens and you do get board wiped, hopefully this deck could recover. But also you might be able to just get them with some of the stuff where they go, I think I'm clearing your board, and you're actually not. I have an answer for that. So that's pretty cool. Okay, let's talk about the deck value, the reprint value. We did cover this a little bit in the deck reveal, so we'll be maybe a little quicker here. Remember that the prices that we quote for all of our decks are from before the decks were revealed. And that is because we are doing a lot of this stuff before the decks are revealed. Not this one we're recording. It's already been revealed. But just so that we're comparing apples to apples with decks from the past and other decks we do, we kind of need to check them at the same point in time. So it's always like a few weeks before the world knows the full lists. So the total reprint value of this deck is actually the highest of all of the Baldur's Gate precons.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's quite high. It's $119.17.
Wow. I mean, I feel like the last deck upgrade I did for Capenna, it also had the highest reprint value.
Wow.
I don't know what that means.
It's called champagne taste. That's what I mean. Remember, these are just the reprint cards, too. This is not counting the 30 new cards in the deck. This is just, or I don't think there's 30 new cards, actually. Some of them are basic lands. But the value of the 70 reprints.
Yeah.
Maybe there are 30 new cards. Anyway, the average reprint value over the past 3 years for a precon deck is $80. So this is well above. I mean, we're talking like 50% more value than normal. Pretty good. Okay, let's talk about the notable reprints. We'll just go through real fast here. There are 7 cards worth $5 or more in this deck. Savine's Reclamation, about $10.50.
Calculating Lich, $10.25.
Skull Clamp, format staple, $10.
That's great.
That's
to
a
see.
Good reprint. Yeah.
Grim Hireling, $9.
I had no idea that card had gotten that high. By the way, that's I mean, it's a good
I'm
card,
kind
but geez.
Surprised.
Mutavault, $8.30.
Selfless Spirit, $8.
That's a good card. Mother of Runes. You knew you wanted me to say it. $5 for the Mother of Runes.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's quite good value in the high end, even. There's 3 cards over $10. I can't remember
incredible.
The last time I saw that.
And Calculating Lich, I think that one was the one that was in the game night's like box thing, not our game.
Oh, that's why, because it was hard to find because it was only in that one thing.
So now we finally have it out in another precon.
That's cool. And there are 15 cards over $2 or more. Remember, all the cards we just talked about are part of those 15 cards. So these are basically the cards between $2 and $5. Vault of the Archangel, $4.50.
Love that card. Castle Lockthwain, $4.25.
8.5 Tails, $4.25. That's an annoying card.
Maskwood Nexus at $4.20.
That's a card I've been actually playing more and more, so I'm glad to see it reprinted before it gets super high in price, so that's good.
Yeah, it's also really good on this deck, because Changeling.
Yep. No, go ahead.
War Room. Sorry, I love this card because it costs
so
much.
So excited about it.
But in this deck, it's still good.
Yeah, it's still good in a 2-color deck, but way better, obviously, in monocolored. But this is a deck that's seeing some play, so War Room, $4.20.
Jazal Goldmane, $3.
Talisman of Hierarchy. We always like to see the Talisman, and Jimmy in particular has been asking for reprints of all the Talismans more often. So this is good. Talisman of Hierarchy was about $2.90 before the reprint.
And then Order of the White Clay at $2.10.
I'm sure people on YouTube are looking at it, but I honestly couldn't say what Order of White Clay does off the bat. But it was $2, so there you go, a little bit of value. So, okay, we've already made our case, I think, clearly for who you should run as the commander. Is there anything else you want to say in regards to Baracus post Folk Hero over Nalia?
Let me see. I feel like Baracus just, even though Nalia has like the, would you call it card advantage?
It is. It's like future sight type card work.
Yeah.
But like I said, it's probably like 60% of a card per turn. You're not drawing an extra card per turn. It's not Phyrexian Arena.
Right. I think there's an argument that Braavos is better card advantage just because of the ramp and the draw because of Folk Hero as well.
Yeah. Actually, honestly, Folk Hero is almost assuredly better card advantage than Nalia. Because Folk Hero, if you're going to be casting at least one of the party classes every turn, you have to have Braavos out, I guess, would be the only thing. But you have to have Nalia out, so I guess that evens out. Yeah, I agree with you. So you get ramp and card draw this way. It's just a better way to go. I agree.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the best cards in the deck really quick. And they're actually both kind of new cards, which is cool. I think a lot of times we mark the best cards in the deck and we just...
They're like reprints that we've wanted or something.
Yeah.
Like,
but this time there are some really cool new cards.
There's one. It's Deep Gnome Terramancer.
Okay, what's it do?
It's a one and a white for a 2/2 wizard. It has flash, which is great for Folk Hero. It has mold earth, and it says I'm just going to pick this up and read it.
It's a little small.
Whenever one or more land enters the battlefield under an opponent's control without being played, you may search your library for a planes card, put it onto the battlefield tapped, then shuffle. Do this once per turn.
So this is really good against fetch lands or anything that's... Yeah, that's putting an extra land into turn that's not getting played from your hand. So right. I guess against Rampant Growths and things like that, it's very good. And it's got flash, like you said, good for Folk Hero, but also good because you can do it in response. They crack their fetch land in response, flash in Deep Gnome, and it's going to ramp you. It's going to put an extra land into play. So yeah, this is white ramp in a really interesting way. I think it's just a good card in general and very good in this deck. Has the relevant creature types.
Yeah, flash. It checks all the boxes for this.
Yeah, I like this card a lot, actually, just in general. So that's cool. The last best card that we've got down is Black Market Connections. 2 and a black enchantment. At the beginning of your pre-combat main phase, choose one or more. You can choose Sell Contraband, which is create a treasure token and you lose a life. Buy Information, which is you draw a card and lose 2 life. Or Hire a Mercenary, create a 3/2 colorless shapeshifter creature token with Changeling.
Hey!
And you lose 3 life.
You love to see it.
Wow, that's all good options.
Yeah, it's a nice enchantment, actually. You're happy to get the ramp. You're happy to get changelings, which shapeshift, so that shapeshifters with changeling. we had this.
We know what you meant. We know what you meant, yeah. But it works good with your commander.
Yeah, it works good with your commander for, again, filling in your party. It's great to have.
Yeah, this seems like a slam dunk card that you'll be happy to see every single game.
It's 3 mana.
Yeah, basically, depending on what's going on, if I need the mana, it gives me that. If I need cards, it gives me that. If I need to fill out my party, it gives me that. So, very cool. All right, coming up, we are going to get into the fun part, which is what cards we want to add to this deck and which to take out to kind of get it up to full party power so you can tangle with other, quote-unquote, real decks as quickly as possible. But before we get into that, we're going to take a quick break and hear a message from our sponsors.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's Angie.com.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
All right, we are back. We are talking about the Party Time deck from Commander Legends Baldur's Gate. Okay, we just ran down the stats and everything, but Ashlyn, going into, you know, deciding what 10 cards you wanted to add, what was your thinking? What were your goals? What were you trying, like, what bases were you kind of trying to cover?
Honestly, this deck had a lot of different ways it could go. As far as how do you want to focus on adding more party creatures, taking advantage of the party mechanic, as well as just the flash mechanic, blinking. Ooh, yeah. So at first, I kind of just like cast a wide net to see what was interesting. And I wanted to focus on protection still, because you're going to be constantly putting yourself out there. I also wanted to focus a little bit on recursion. Mm. There were some like sub sack themes in the deck.
Yeah, there's like Zulaport Cutthroat and some other things.
Yeah, so I wanted to kind of take advantage of those more because there is that recursion that's already built into the deck. Mm-hmm. And kind of go from there with just value creatures and spells that support them.
Great. Okay, let's run down the list here. And the first one is kind of along the lines of that protections element that sort of makes sure that when I extend onto the board, I can make sure that I don't get blown out by a board wipe or something. It is Face Reward, which is 3 and a white for an instant. It says return to the battlefield all permanent cards in your graveyard that were put there from the battlefield this turn. So yeah, it's a way they board wipe, and if you've, you know, got the mana up or whatever, you go boom, bring it all back. Also, you can use it on your own where you're like, hey, I sack all my stuff.
Yeah.
Cast Face Reward, it all comes back. So if you've got the Zulaport Cutthroat thing going on, you can kind of be proactive with it. Yeah, what was your thinking with this card? And it's at the top of the list, so.
Yeah, I mean, I just immediately, I was like, oh, this is, it's 280, so it's not that expensive. And it's a great answer to a board wipe, because you're not countering it, you're not doing any of that. You let them waste their spell, and then you bring everything back and get a lot of value off the ETB triggers.
That can certainly win you games too, when they think, I've got this under control, board wipe, and you go, boom, I still have all my stuff, and they're just dead to it.
Right.
Yeah, so that's cool. What's the next card?
Next up, we have Alms Collector, coming in at $14.
This is the most expensive card on the list of cards you added.
Yes. Listen, I wanted to abuse Folk Hero,
yeah, right,
as best as possible. And there was not a lot of Orzhov options that seemed prime for this deck, because they also need to have, again, the party name, Cleric Warrior, whatever.
Party classes, yeah.
Classes, yeah.
Yeah, so you want to have Flash specifically because Folk Hero is going to be easy to trigger on your turn, but harder on other players' turn.
Right.
So one card per turn is not good, as good as two cards per turn, obviously.
Exactly.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So yeah, it's just an Alms Collector is a great card. It's a 3 and a white for a 3/4 cat cleric. It has Flash. If an opponent would draw 2 or more cards, instead you and that player each draw a card. So you'd actually draw 2 cards from playing, right?
Yeah, because Folk Hero would say, oh, it's a cleric that matches with Barakos, draw you a card, you do it on another player's turn, they're about to draw a bunch of cards. You cut them down to only 1 card.
And you draw.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah. It's definitely a way to shut down somebody who's kind of going off in a scary way and get advantage yourself. And then, yeah, worst case scenario, too, it's not that bad to just play this on your end step to draw your card off Folk Hero, go about your life, and just, you know, get another party creature out there, right?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. I like cards with low downside. What's the next one?
All right. So next up, we have Sigrid, God Favored. It is 1 white-white for a 2/2 human warrior. Sigrid also has Flash. First strike, protection from god creatures, not as relevant, but the flashes.
Yep.
And then it says, when Sigrid, God Favored, enters the battlefield, exile up to 1 target attacking or blocking creature until Sigrid leaves the battlefield. So it can be used in a couple ways. You know, get rid of blockers whenever you're wanting to attack for probably lethal.
Or just you're going to be attacking because you want those treasures from Barakos.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah.
And it's also good for if you need to be on the defense. Maybe you just got board wiped and you need to recover. They can think you have nothing now. And then you flash this and deal with one of their attackers.
Also, just if you have a good enter the battlefield effect on one of your creatures, I could see you exiling it. And then, you know, maybe you're going to sack Sigrid or blink Sigrid and then get your enter the battlefield effect from that other creature again. There are tricks you can definitely pull with this type of card. Yeah. What's the next one?
So next up, we have Cosmic Intervention for $4.
I like this card.
Yeah, it's another protection or protection card. It's 3 and a white for an instant. It says if a permanent you control would be put into into a graveyard from the battlefield this turn, exile it instead. Return it to the battlefield under its owner's control at the beginning of the next end step. It also has foretell for 2.
Yeah, 1 and a white foretell is actually pretty strong on a card like this. Because I'd say the one downside of like Faith's Reward, 4 mana is a lot to hold up.
Right.
But Cosmic Intervention, you foretell it early in the game and then it just sort of sits there being, as long as I hold up 2 mana, nothing too bad can happen, right?
Right, exactly. And there's another card we'll talk about later that plays off foretell as well. So your opponents won't be able to really know. Because sometimes with foretell cards, you're like, oh, I know what that is.
Right.
You won't with this.
Yeah, I've actually found that, like, especially if they're playing blue, there's a certain assumptions, like Mystic Reflection is what everybody just assumes it is. And so there is actually a lot of advantage to be gained by playing a foretell card that's unexpected, that they think is something else. And I think there's the white board wipe foretell that most people assume when white's playing one. I don't know what the black one is, but
I can't remember.
The next card on your list is kind of an all-purpose, good, efficient card. It's Shields of Velas Vel. It's 1 white for a tribal instant shapeshifter changeling. So it is an instant with all creature types. Creatures target player controls get +0/+1 and gain all creature types until end of turn. So this is just a way that you will turn all your creatures. So you'll have a full party as long as you have full creatures.
Yep.
And then, of course, you'll still draw the card off Folk Hero, right?
Is it creature only, or is it just...
Whenever you cast a spell that shares a creature type. So, yeah, that's pretty sweet.
I totally plan that.
Yeah.
No, but for sure, it's definitely... The whole reason is because everything becomes all creature types. It's great in decks like... Atla, that's where I got the idea from.
Yeah, and they all become eggs, right?
Yeah, they all become eggs. So now they all become party people.
Yeah, that's great. I'm just rereading Barakos here. When Barakos attacks, defending player loses X life and you create X treasure tokens where X is the number of creatures in your party. Yeah, so this will fill it out and make sure that you've got, you know, an even amount. Because it's possible still with all the creature types, it's just like, I have 2 wizards, and my commander, and I just can't find either a cleric or a warrior. Or maybe I have 3 wizards on my commander, and I just can't. You know, I have a lot of creatures, but...
That's what happens.
Yeah, and so you go, boom, Shields of Velas Vel, get it all, get your damage in there, get your treasure tokens. That's cool.
And the party mechanic almost makes me think of, like, lands when you're playing, like, a deck with multiple colors. Because you're like, great, I have 3 swamps, and...
Just need my red. I just need my mountain.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, Jimmy can relate. Okay. Coveted Prize is the next one. Oh, sorry. Shields of Velas Vel... is 40 cents, so very cheap card. Coveted Prize is the next one, and this card is only 25 cents.
Just kind of surprised. I feel like I've heard about this card a lot, but
it's recent-ish, so maybe that's why it's not. I don't know. It's 4 and a black for a sorcery. This spell costs 1 less to cast for each creature in your party. So that's probably it right there. There's just not enough party decks to get this price low. So this could cost 1 black if you have a full party. Search your library for a card, put it into your hand, then shuffle your library. If you have a full party, you may cast a spell with converted mana cost 4 or less from your hand without paying its mana cost. Doesn't have to be the card you search for either. Yeah, this card is crazy in a party deck.
And over, because of one of the other cards, I forgot what it was called. I think it's one of the gnomes. Over 60% of the cards in this deck are like 3 CMC and less, the creatures especially. So without a 4 CMC and less, you're going to hit a lot. You have a lot of options with this.
Yeah, I mean, even if you don't have a full party and you've only got 3 members, it's Demonic Tutor at its worst. And Demonic Tutor that lets you play another card for free.
Right.
Like, yeah, this card seems really good. Only 25 cents.
I know.
All right, this next one is the foretell card you kind of foretold about earlier.
Oh. Mm-hmm,
yes, I'm a professional. Okay, Dream Devourer, 1 and a black. I'll read it because the text is small. 1 and a black for an 03 Demon Cleric. Each non-land card in your hand without foretell has foretell. Its foretell cost is equal to its mana cost reduced by 2. And then whenever you foretell a card, Dream Devourer gets +2/+0 until end of turn. Dream Devourer is also a demon cleric, so it is one of your party members. Yeah.
Yeah, I just thought it was a really fun piece of tech to put in the deck, because if you're trying to build a party and you don't want your opponents to know you're trying to build a party, what better way to do that than to plan around having certain ones foretold, and then when they use their targeted removal, surprise, I have backup or something.
I think this is a really smart card to put in the deck, because one thing I'm thinking is, if you have a full party, playing a fifth creature out is actually, depending on what it is, obviously, but it can be not that much more advantage than having your fourth, right?
Right.
But what you can do is kind of precede, like, if something happens, so I can put a card in foretell, and it's going to cheapen its price when I actually cast it. So, like, if the worst happens and they Cyclonic Rift me or whatever, I can recover a little faster because I managed to foretell two or three cards earlier, and, you know, now I can... Because it wasn't that important for me to have a second cleric at that time or whatever.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, so that's pretty cool.
Next up, we have Viscera Seer at 25 cents. It's one black. It's a vampire wizard. It's a 1/1 that says sacrifice to creature, scry one. It's pretty simple. It's great to support all those sac under theme in the deck, and to really get like your Zulaport Cutthroat going and things like that.
Yeah, there's definitely a sub-theme where you can get paid off for your creatures dying in the deck. It's not a huge part, but there's probably like, what did we say, 7 or 8 cards?
Yeah, 7 to 8 cards,
that, for sure. That were in that theme. So, yeah, just adding one more piece that makes those cards better. And Viscera Seer is also a wizard.
Yeah.
It's only a 25-cent card, even though it sees a ton of play. So it just fits right in there.
And scrying one in a deck where you're trying to make sure you constantly have a party is great.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, yeah, because you're like, oh, I already have a cleric. So
I'm going to bottom that. Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. The next one's a new card, which is kind of cool.
I love this card. I love the art on this card. I was excited for this card. I tried to break it. It is called Ruthless Technomancer, and it is $2.80.
Yeah, it's already climbing a little bit, so yeah. Get your hands on this before it's out of range. Okay, Ruthless Technomancer, 3 and a black for a 2/4 human wizard. When it enters the battlefield, you may sacrifice another creature you control. If you do, create a number of treasure tokens equal to that creature's power. Yep. And then it has an activated ability. You can pay 2 and a black and sacrifice X artifacts, and then return target creature card with power X or less from your graveyard to the battlefield. X cannot be 0. All right. So I play this, and when it ETBs, I can sacrifice a creature. Let's say it's a 3/3. I'll make 3 treasure tokens.
Right.
And then at some point then or later, I can pay 2 and a black and sacrifice X tokens. Let's say 3.
Right.
So I sacrifice a 3 treasure, pay 3 mana, and I can bring back anything with 3 power from my graveyard to the battlefield.
Yep.
Yeah. Pretty interesting. I know there was some stuff you can do with it if you have like anthem effects, because what you're trying to do is have your creature's power on the battlefield be different than it is in the graveyard, stuff like that.
Yeah, it's tricky because you do need to have like, it seems tempting to think that treasures, oh, I have 3 treasures that I get from it, I'll just use those, but you're sacrificing them and paying a separate mana cost. So that's where it gets a little tricky. But yeah, you just want to find creatures that give you a big, have bigger power than
they do in the graveyard.
Than they do in the graveyard.
Or it can just be a value piece. Like, instead of trying to combo with it in some way, this is also a good way to just get a bunch of treasures and then use the treasures Barakas has been making to get something back. Like, let's say your Viscera Seer died and all you need to do is sacrifice things. Well, for 3 mana and a treasure, sacrificing a treasure, I can get that back out, and now I can, you know, use my Zulaport Cutthroat in the way I want to. And so, yeah, it really can kind of just grease the wheels and get things going.
Yeah, it's recursion as well. Like, it helps get things back. And there's a lot of other cards that have enter the battlefield things in this deck that it's worth using when they get removed. So
yeah, that's great. Okay, and that was our 9th card. Our 10th card is $4.50, and it's kind of a finisher type. Like, what do we do if we have a lot of mana, which we might because of treasures?
Right, exactly. We have a ton of treasures. What are we going to do? We're going to pay 4 white for a 7/7 angel. It is Sarah's Emissary.
This is a cool card, and I think a little bit of an interesting finisher.
Yeah, it doesn't hit the party mechanic, but it's flying, and when it enters the battlefield, you choose a card type. You and creatures you control have protection from the chosen type. So if I say creatures.
So first of all, you can't be dealt damage by creatures. But also, creatures you control have protection from creatures, so can't be blocked.
Exactly.
That's pretty cool.
That's a finisher right there. Alpha Strike.
Right. They think, you know, she's got a lot of stuff, but I can block some of it. And, you know, I'll be able to survive. And you go, no, can't block anything.
and you're dead now.
Yeah. Or someone tries to, well, I guess it doesn't have Flash. I've had Flash be better, but like as like Cyclonic Rift, protection from sorceries.
Yeah. Well, it's an instant, and if they paid the overload, it wouldn't work. But if they single targeted, so you could say protection from instants. If you were just looking to protect your board, it wouldn't protect you from board wipes, but it would protect you from individual pieces of removal.
That makes sense, yeah.
Yeah. So, pretty cool card. But yeah, yeah. I have a feeling this deck is going to be at a point, you know, turn 5, 6, 7, where it's not... It can cast a 7-drop and have mana left over, where, it, like, you attacked, you created, like, 4 treasure, and you have a lot of mana to play with kind of early.
Yeah, exactly. And with all that extra mana, you don't want to just be sitting there doing nothing with it. So, having options like this, or, like, the Dazal Gold main, are great ways to kind of funnel that into something.
Yeah, turn good. It into a win.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about the... Oh, sorry. Our grand total for this one was $30.25. Remember, we say for around $30. Yes. We're not trying to get like crazy. Like, you can't go over, and it's over by 25 cents. So.
Yes. We tried.
We tried. All right, let's talk about two cards that could not fit in the budget, though, because they're too expensive. The honorable mentions that we wish we could have put in. That was the worst throw I've ever done in my life. It's just, okay. It just let's really not talk about it.
Yeah. You, yes. So yeah, honorable mentions. This card I really wanted. It was the first card I looked up when after I picked Baraka. So I was like, okay, I want this card. And it is a $21 card. It is Revel in Riches.
Yeah, so that's the one if you have, 10 or more treasures, you win the game at the beginning of your upkeep. And then whenever a creature an opponent controls dies, you make a treasure.
Yeah.
It would be super good, but since it's the entirety of the budget.
Yeah.
But if you happen to have one, I think you probably put it in the deck.
Put it in, yeah.
Just do it. The next card I really like.
Yes. So the next one is Aphreos, God of Passage, for $10. And I did have it in the deck, but then I had to take it out for some other priorities. It's one white black for a 5/4 god, and it's indestructible as long as your devotion to white and black is less than 7. Aphreos is not a creature. And it says whenever another creature you own dies, return it to the battlefield. Return it to your hand unless target opponent pays 3 life.
Which, there are points in the game where that means you just get the card back from your hand when it dies because they can't afford to pay the life, especially if you pick the same opponent every time, so it slowly whittles them down.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, this seems like it would be good in the deck, but why did you decide that? Because I think one $10 card we could have fit.
Yeah, totally. I think I was trying to choose between it and Alms Collector because they were both two really high-costing cards, and I felt like Alms Collector at least had the Aphreos doesn't have, it's not a party member.
Right.
It doesn't have a party class. So you don't get that. And then I didn't want to have to worry too much about devotion as well. Although that's not, it being a creature isn't a big deal. So that was kind of my thoughts. I felt like it's a great card to have if you have it, put it in there. But I felt like if I'm picking between like Sarah's Emissary and Aphreos as well, like I feel like that just does
one more top end.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would say too, like, there's not a ton of ways in the deck to sacrifice your own creatures. In fact, we added one, but there's not like a lot, right. Which Aetherios is kind of, you want that kind of deck. So you're controlling when your creatures die. So when you get them back to kind of make use of like, I'm going to play this 3 times in a row if you don't pay the life. Whereas Aetherios just sitting there hoping your opponents are the ones causing your creatures to die is a lot less good.
Right.
So I think it would still be good in the deck, but I agree with you. It's probably not like, it's not as good as the other cards that got added.
Totally.
Okay, let's talk about the 10 cards we want to take out because, you know, you got to make room for the 10 cards we just added. Yeah. So these are the ones we don't like and why we did not like them.
Yes.
I hope they don't feel bad. Sorry, cards.
Yes, we love you. We just don't need you for this deck.
Yeah, exactly. You belong in other decks.
Stay in the pub. The party will go out without you.
Wow.
So the first one that got the cut is Nighthawk Scavenger.
It is one black for a one. Sorry, it's a 1+*3. Vampire Rogue. I'll explain this in a second. Flying, Death Touch, Lifelink. Nighthawk Scavenger's power is equal to 1+ the number of card types among cards in your opponent's graveyard.
That's the key word there, opponents.
If it was yours, it'd be a lot better because at least you can have the Cleric Rogue thing work for you.
Right. It's a little situational. And right. What was my other thing with it? Oh, and then I don't know about you, but this is like a toolbox kind of deck, right?
Right.
And I've explained before how I've had decks where it's like a ton of counters to keep track of, and it's just too much. When I see
right, you don't want to be like
less. I'm like, no, my brain is done.
It's true because every single turn you're like, how many creatures do you have, and how about you?
Yeah,
yeah,
just not worth it.
All right, the next card we're cutting is Calculating Lich, 4 black for a 5/5 zombie wizard with Menace. Whenever a creature attacks one of your opponents, that player loses 1 life.
Yeah, it was fine. Like, I think this was just in there to be a reprint more than anything. Mm. It's fine in the deck, but
this is the one that was worth $10 or whatever, and only from the game night thing. Yeah, it seems like it's only worth that much because of zombie decks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. The next one is Magus of the Balance. Oh, thank God we're taking this out.
That's why.
1 and a white for a 2/2 human wizard, but you pay 4 and a white, tap and sacrifice the Magus of the Balance, and each player chooses a number of lands they control equal to the number of lands controlled by the player who controls the fewest. Then sacrifices the rest, and players discard cards and sacrifice creatures the same way. If you've ever seen the actual card balance, which is banned in Commander.
For a reason.
Yeah, it does the same thing on a sorcery. This is on a creature, maybe a little more fair because it costs more mana and it has summoning sickness. But yeah, I mean, what's the reason here? Just deck's not set up to take advantage of it?
Well, in the notes I put, everyone will hate you. And if you want to play with other people at a level with them, probably don't want to make yourself archenemy.
Yeah. This is also, I find balance is only good in decks that can like sacrifice its own stuff and specifically lands to control the amount that everyone's allowed to have. So if you're just like, I'm going to play this and whatever I happen to have, that's where everyone's going to go to. Way less good than if you're like, I'm going to sack all my creatures. This will be my last creature. I'm going to sack down to 3 lands. My deck has very low CMC. And then I'm going to, basically everybody else is set back to the Stone Age, but I can still function or something like that.
Right.
Yeah. But that's not this deck.
No. I mean, there is an argument where you get a lot of treasures. I forgot. Is it going to make you sack those treasures?
Yeah. Oh, no, it doesn't make you sack artifacts.
Okay. So, yeah, you have a lot of treasures, and so everyone else could be pretty hurt, but you can rely on that.
But I think you need to be able to sacrifice your own lands in order to make that really good, right? Because if you're like, okay, I'm saving up all my treasures. I got 15 treasures. Now I'm going to play this Magus of the Balance. I'm going to sack all my lands. Nobody will have any lands, and I'll have 15 treasures. I can win from there. That's hard to pull off. What's going to happen is they're going to sacrifice all their stuff and only sack 1 or 2 lands, and then, you know.
And then everyone's just mad at you.
Yeah. And then you'll die to all 3 of them.
Yes.
All right. What's the next one?
All right. Next up, we have Corpse Augur. It is a 3. It's 3 and a black for a 4/2 zombie wizard. When it dies, you draw X cards and you lose X life, where X is the number of creatures in target player's graveyard. Again, not your grave. Well, I guess it could be your graveyard.
Right. It could be.
But
it's hard to control.
Yeah, it's hard to control. It's not the worst. It's just, you know, we do have to cut 10 cards here. And I felt like it just you lose X life. We already have like 21 card draw in the deck. It was just kind of meh for me.
Yeah, I agree. It's just, this is a card that's good in a deck where you're milling yourself or milling the other players. So you're pretty confident there's going to be quite a large amount of cards. Because if you do this and it dies and you get 2 or 3 cards, it's probably not it's fine, but it's nothing to write home about. What you're trying to do is get 20 cards or something crazy.
Right.
But you can only do that if you're milling in some way. And this deck's not doing that. All right. What's the next one?
Next up, we have Mindblade Render. It is 1 and a black for a 1/3 warrior. It says whenever an opponent deals combat damage or dealt combat damage, if any of that damage would be dealt by a warrior, you draw a card and lose 1 life. It just feels very like pokey.
Because it's small?
Yeah, it's a 1/3 and it is a warrior, which is nice. But the warriors are not on the top end. They're on the low end of the deck. And it felt slow.
I mean, like you said, you got to cut cards, and we are fine on the card draw front, I think, too.
Yeah.
All right. What's the next one?
All right. Next up is the Valiant Changeling, which is 5 white-white for a 3/3 shapeshifter. It says the spell costs 1 less to cast for each creature type among creatures you control. This effect can't be reduced.
Can't reduce the amount of mana.
More than 5.
So you can't go down to, less than white.
It basically would be, it'd be white-white.
And it's a changeling.
It's a changeling with double strike. It's fine, but again, we've added more creatures that do more
cheaper.
After a board wipe, if you draw this, you're not happy.
Yeah. It really needs a lot to be going your way for it to be decent, and it's hard to imagine it's really, really good. Okay, next one.
Yep. Next up we have how do you say her name? It's
Fiaras.
Fiaras, there we go. Fiaras Retribution.
It's 1 white-white-black. By the way, I do not stand behind that pronunciation. That's just what came to mind. I could be wrong. Okay. 1 white-white-black for a enchantment saga. Its chapter 1 is create a 4/4 white angel warrior creature token with flying and vigilance. Chapter 2 is until end of turn, angels you control gain, tap, destroy target creature with power less than this creature's power. And chapter 3, angels you control gain double strike until end of turn. I think I know where we cut this card.
Yeah.
What's an angel deck. Tribal doing card doing in this deck?
I think there's like a couple angels in here, so it's like a nice win more, but yeah. It's.
They were like, wait, it's an angel warrior though. Does that, can I entice you with that?
No. Right, no.
That's a, what a weird card to include in the deck. All right, three to go. The next one's Rumor Gatherer, one white for a 2/1 elf wizard. Has alliance. Whenever another creature enters the battlefield under your control, scry one. If this is the second time that ability has resolved this turn, draw a card. So as long as you have two creatures enter the battlefield in a turn, you'll draw a card.
Right. Which isn't, it's not terrible. It was one of those ones where it's like, I need to cut something and this is okay. Like, we have a lot of card draw. It's a 2/1 and it costs, what, 3? So...
I think a lot of the creatures you added had flash too. So what that's trying to do is say, I'm going to play one now, then one on the next turn, then one on the next turn to take advantage of Folk Hero. And Rumor Gatherers wants you to do the exact opposite of that, which is like, no, play two now and none
save
later.
Them. Yeah.
Yeah. So it kind of has this weird tug and pull with Folk Hero that's, you know, it's like, well, we chose Folk Hero, so you got to sit on the sidelines, Rumor Gatherer.
Yeah.
All right. The next one we're cutting is Irregular Cohort, 2 white for a 2/2. With Changeling, when it enters the battlefield, you create a 2/2 colorless shapeshifter creature token with Changeling. So it's 4 mana for 2/2s that have all creature types.
Right. And this one I actually debated, but I felt like at the end of the day, again, it doesn't do much more. It's nice to fulfill that party need, but I felt like we had added enough and the deck is good on its own that it really didn't need this card.
You don't need 2 vanilla creatures that its only goal is to fill out your party.
Right.
You can probably get creatures that also have abilities that are going to fill out your party.
Exactly.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. And the last card is...
Priest of Ancient Lore. It is 2 and a white for a 2/1 dwarf cleric. When it enters the battlefield, you gain 1 life and draw a card.
Okay.
So it's fine, but it's just... I'm the type of person who likes big, powerful creatures.
We've noticed. So, like Eldrazi, maybe?
Yeah, just a little. I almost added one, by the way.
You had Artisan of Kozilek on your to-add list for a long time just to have an Eldrazi on there.
So cards like this, they don't excite me, and I just don't think it is that. Like, it's cool, maybe in like a draft, I don't know, but like for this, it's got to do more.
Yeah, again, this feels like the type of card that is 3 mana, 2/1 that draws you a card, right? The only reason that would be good in your deck is if you have a bunch of ways to blink it or reuse its effect, bounce to your hand, replay it, whatever. Like the first time you play this, it's just not worth it. You can just get better abilities on a creature for, you know, that amount of mana. So
yeah, that's a good point. Like you'd need to cast it like how many times? 2-3 times?
Probably just 2 to get value. Is fine because Folk Hero, you're drawing 2 cards kind of with it. But remember, if you cast it on turn 3, your commander's not out yet.
Yeah.
So you only will draw the 1 card because Folk Hero can't be online yet. And on imagine a play pattern, right? Turn 2, you're probably casting Folk Hero. Turn 3, you're going to want to cast some kind of party member. Turn 4, you cast Barakos. Turn 5 is really the first time. And obviously, there can be some ramp, but the first time where you can really take advantage of having Folk Hero and Barakos out.
Right.
Yeah.
And then you play a 2/1.
Yeah. It's hard to fit it in there a little bit, I think. And we're not as worried about card draw because of Folk Hero. So I think I'd rather just have a creature that like has a bigger effect on the game in a different way than card advantage. Yeah,
exactly.
I like that. Okay, let's talk about how the deck plays.
Yeah, so I like the deck. It plays, again, it's a toolbox deck. So, you know, you get all of your stuff together and they all work together with different synergies. They also have different interactions within the deck, which is nice. And I put here, what is it? It says there's a lot of card draw to get you what you need overall, and it's a nice balance of enough to keep track of but not too much to keep track of.
Right. Once you have 4 party members, you're good. You're not like, I don't have to count anymore, I just have 4. It
don't doesn't matter about counters on everything, right? Like, but it's still
not so much accounting.
But it's still interactive for yourself, and I like that. It's very fun.
Yeah, I think it's probably the type of deck that's going to commit to the board, so you're going to get out there, put some creatures out, want to be attacking and swinging, and then at some point realize that my goal here now is to maintain what I've got. And so then you start holding your faith rewards and stuff and anticipating your opponent's trying to like cut you down to size and being ready to like counteract, you know, their removal and things like that. All right, to the listeners, What do you think of the Party Time pre-con? Are there any cards that you would add under our $30 budget? Are there any cards we suggested to take out that you were like, no, that should absolutely stay in the deck?
Did we leave a card in that you want? You're like, why is that in there? Kick it out right now.
Yeah, we love all, it helps people too, because they can go down into the comments and see what other people's perspectives are. And definitely sometimes we see stuff and we're like, oh yeah, that's a good point. Maybe we would have swapped out one of the cards we took out for that instead or whatever. So yeah, if you want to get your hands on the Party Time pre-con deck or any of the pre-con decks from Baldur's Gate, or you want to get a booster box or set booster or collector's booster or anything like that, channelfireball.com/command is the best place to go. Their marketplace has all the cards you're looking for, tons of inventory, lots of vendors. They're all licensed businesses, so you get a good service experience.
Yeah.
channelfireball.com/command, or you can use the promo code command at checkout if you've forgotten to use the affiliate link, which I forget to do every single time. And of course, yeah, of course, once you get all your hands on all those cards, you want to protect them. You want them to stay in pristine condition. The best way to do that is with Ultra Pro products. Those are the products that Jimmy and I, we trust our personal collections to that stuff. You want to get your best sleeves, Eclipse sleeves. You want to get the best play mats, Ultra Pro. They've got awesome deck boxes, things like the Mythic collection. They've got things
satin
like
towers satin. Are my favorites.
Yeah, super sturdy, right? Nothing's going to happen to your deck if it's in a satin tower. And they also do come out with the product for every single set that has the artwork, the official IP from Wizards of the Coast. So if you are going to build a Nalia deck, there's going to be a Nalia sleeves and playmat and deck box from Ultra Pro that you can match that with. So that's it's a really cool way to sort of spice up your battlefield. We've got big Magic events coming back. In fact, at the time you're watching this, we've already gone to Command Fest Vegas. But for us now recording this, in the past, we're about to leave for Command Fest Vegas. But, you know, when you go to those events, you definitely want to like show off your cool stuff and you know, all your matching game accessories.
All your aesthetics that match the type of color your commander is or what they look like.
Yep. Ultra Pro can give you everything you need to do that. And don't forget also, the Kickstarter for our brand new playmat, Before the Storm is the name of it. The link is in the show notes. If you want to get your hands on that, support the show, support our content, follow that link. It's limited time only. Once the Kickstarter is over, we're never making the playmat again. So definitely lock in your order. Don't wait.
And again, it is gorgeous. I helped work on the production for this, and it is one of my favorites. It's just the art is so pretty. I love the theming of it, the background. And we went through a lot of testing with this one to really make sure it's good quality and the colors really came through.
Yeah, I think stylistically too, it's just a lot different than what we've done in the past. So that's great. It really stands out. All right. Now it's time for the end step where we talk about something cool outside the world of magic.
Yeah.
Ashlyn, do you have something cool?
Yes. Party time. So
wait, didn't we just talk about that?
We did, and we're going to keep on going. Have you heard of a series called High and Low?
No.
So High and Low is a series that it's on Netflix now. It originated in Japan. It's a TV drama about some five rural urban gangs.
Oh.
Rural and urban. I don't know if those go in the same sentence, but they're about urban gangs called SWORD. It's an acronym.
Are they from the country or the city?
Both.
Oh, okay.
So maybe both. Yes. So you'll probably see some graphics on screen for them. It's really cool. Is
this an anime?
No, it's a live action.
Oh, wow.
Do you like amazing cinematography that comes with really cool choreo?
Yeah, of course.
Fight choreo?
Yeah.
Amazing story?
Of course.
Yeah, it has all of that, okay? I'm trying to sell Josh. I really want him to watch it.
I wasn't sure if I should answer or not. Was it rhetorical or not?
But yeah, it's centered on the five gangs. The drama originated as part of... It's a J-pop group called Exile Tribe.
Oh.
And all of their team is on it. And, like, the Exile Tribe is huge. Like, they go through different generations for this. And, like, they have specific dancers, which is why the choreography is so good.
Yeah. Well, yeah, an interesting thing to note is that dance choreography and fight choreography are actually very related.
Yeah.
They're very rhythmic. And, like, I think in, like, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, like, the main girl, Zhang Ziyi, was, like, a dancer, not a fighter. But because those two things are pretty similar, right? Control of body, movements, and rhythm and everything. That's why it looks so good. So that actually makes a lot of sense to me.
It does make total sense. And, like, the fight scenes are so good. You know how, like, back when, I think it was Breaking Bad that had that one shot in it that people, like, were raving over? This is like times 10 of those one shots. They do so many with moving choreo of like 50 people fighting.
Oh, wow.
It is incredible. And like, you're just sitting on the edge of your couch, just like screaming. And like, the characters in it have like those anime personalities, because I believe it's based on a manga. Uh-huh. So like, the leaders of the gangs are so funny. And one of them, the White Rascals, is one of the gangs. He, his thing, they all have something they say before they go into battle and fight each other. And his is, he like looks up and he goes, "Party time.
Party time."
It's great. So I was like, oh, I have to talk about them.
It's on theme.
It is. It's on Netflix. There's a bunch of, there's seven of the movies.
Oh.
And a new one's coming out.
Oh, these are movies. Yeah. It's not like a TV show.
No, they have like some TV shows that are like background filler. Yes. No, it's huge in Japan. And the newest one they're doing is called High and Low. The Worst just came out. I forgot what the next one's called. But it's a collaboration with the K-pop group, NCT, I believe, because one of the members is either part Japanese or Japanese. And so, yeah, they're actually going to be in it. It's awesome. Going to be dope.
Okay, very cool. High and Low on Netflix. This is good because we've watched a lot of K-pop and we're running out. So this is a new thing we can try out.
Yeah, you'll definitely like it. Look for guides online on the order to watch. Start with Road to High and Low to get the background of all the gangs. But yeah, it's really great. Let me know what your favorite group is. My favorite guy is Maruyama. He is like the... Sorry, I'm just going to keep talking about this.
Oh, he loves the show. Okay, great. I'm going to check it out.
His name is Maruyama. The actor actually has the same birthday as me, which is kind of dope. But anyways,
did you find that out after he was your favorite, or become your favorite? Okay,
after, because he's like the typical anime character that's like such like a badass. Can we say badass?
Yeah, we can say badass.
But like, he does this thing where he like, before he fights, he goes like, so like that. It's just great. Okay, watch it, please.
We will have a link to one of the guides of what order to watch them in the show notes, so you can find that there. All right, big thanks to our amazing team here at the Command Zone: Arthur Meadowcroft, Shauna Gillis, Damon Lenz, Lady Danger, Manson Lung, Greg Blanchett, Ashlyn Rose, Josh Murphy, Jake Boss, Patrick Nan, Jordan Purgeon, Sam Waldo, Grav Galati, Truck Ty, Jamie Block, Evan Limburger, and Mitch Trafford.
And Jimmy Wong.
I guess we should mention him when he's not here. And special thanks to Jeffrey Palmer for the Living Card animations that open our show, and for a lot of the windows behind us. He did this one, which is Thousand Year Storm. You can find him on Twitter at LivingCardsMTG. All right, Ash, thanks for walking us through this upgrade.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I hope you all like it. Let me know.
Yeah, let us know how you like all the budget upgrades and how the decks are playing for you. We will see you very, very soon. In fact, next time. Peace.
For further inquiries, send an email to commandcast@rocketjump.com or ask us on Twitter at JF Wong and at Josh Lee Kwai. See you later, alligator.
Greetings, humans.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.